Never be satisfied with a sermon. Never be satisfied with just reading the Bible, because that won't change you. It will only inform you.
Dr. Tony Evans says the goal of discipleship isn't education, it's transformation. And even that's a job we can't do alone.
God will do the transforming, but you have to be located in the place where the transforming occurs.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. God accepts us the way we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. Today, Dr. Evans takes a look at the spiritual makeover process God uses to make us not only look different, but be different. Let's join him.
Discipleship is that developmental process of the local church that seeks to bring Christians from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity so that they can replicate the process with someone else. God's goal for creating the church was to be the location where disciples are crafted and made. The two key verses I want to focus on are verses 17 and 18. He says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." Please pay attention to the first three words in verse 18, "but we all." But we all. Now, what that means is what I'm about to tell you, you're not an exception. That whatever I'm getting ready to tell you based on what Paul tells us, it applies to you no matter how old you are, how young you are, your background, your mama, your daddy, your granddaddy, no matter what failures or successes you have in your life, but we all. So don't say this applies to me or not to me, it applies to everybody else, but we all. So the transformation that God wants to make applies to all, and the way you get it is the same way everybody else gets it. So you're not a unique situation in a unique category with a unique problem, having unique circumstances. Paul says, when it comes to God changing you, but we all. So whatever I'm getting ready to tell you applies to you. He's talking about transformation. He says, we are being transformed. The Greek word transformed is the word that we get our English word metamorphosis from, and it refers to changes taking place from the inside out. Let me explain what transformation is not. Transformation is not merely the accumulation of information. You could come to church from here, tell the cows come home, and not be changed. In fact, many of us have come to church from here, tell the cows come home, and nothing is different. It's not that we haven't received information, it's we haven't received transformation. So you can have information without changing, information without transformation. Let me tell you what transformation also is not. It is not simply conforming to behavior modifications. See, a lot of us want to change what we do, but you can change what you do without being transformed. In other words, you can do it on the outside without there being any difference on the inside. If you tell your son or daughter to empty the trash, and they say, "No, I'm not going to empty the trash," and you open up your belt and say, "You better empty this trash," you may get external conformity because they're scared of the belt without internal transformation. They might be emptying the trash on the outside while cussing you out on the inside because there hasn't been a change, that's just been conformity. So many of us conform externally without being transformed. But the word transform means to be changed on the inside, and it just shows up on the outside. So it's an internal change of the soul that works itself out in what you do in the body. He says that you are being transformed. God wants to see every Christian here transformed, not merely conformed, and not merely informed. He wants us to be transformed. Like a butterfly in a caterpillar's cocoon. The butterfly is inside the caterpillar cocoon. The butterfly is slow, slimy, and ugly. But inside, there is a change metamorphosizing, taking place, turning something slow, ugly, and slimy into something lovely, beautiful, multicolored that can get up off the ground and take flight. In every Christian, there's a butterfly trying to get out. You are being transformed. Notice what he didn't say. You are transforming. He says you are being, something else is transforming you. So I want to take some of the weight off of you right now. You don't have to transform you. You have to be transformed. That means something else is turning you inside out. Something else is doing a number on you. Something else is creating the transformation. You are being transformed. So, if you want to change, God has a way of changing you, making you the Christian he wants you to be, which is the goal of discipleship, if you will adhere to this process. Now, if I am being transformed, if something else is transforming me, then I need to know what the something else is and how the something else works. When Moses was being changed in the Old Testament and the glow hit his face, God brought about the glow, but Moses had to do one thing. He had to climb up the mountain. See, he had to go to where the glow was in order to get the glow. God will do the transforming, but you have to be located in the place where the transforming occurs. In other words, you have to position yourself for transformation. You don't have to do the transforming, but you have to post yourself in the location of where the transforming occurs. It's like a water skier. A water skier doesn't ski it himself or herself, but they position themselves behind the power boat, and the power boat pulls them along the water. But unless they position themselves, they don't get to ski. They can't ski without the boat, but they have to position themselves to the boat in order for the power of the boat to take them alongside of the water. God wants to take you somewhere. He wants to take me somewhere, but unless we position ourselves, we'll stay stuck in the same place, same seat, same problem, same habits, same defeats, same addictions, and we won't go anywhere because we're not being transformed, because instead of being with God on the mountain, we're with the people in the valley. So we're not posted for transformation. But he says, but we all, so you are no exception, are being transformed. Transformed into what? He says, into the same image. The word image means resemblance or likeness or replication of. God's goal in transforming us is to make us look like Jesus. He wants to clone Christ in his people. That's why scripture calls Christ the firstborn of many brethren. God wants a lot of little Jesuses running around, so he wants to turn you in to a Jesus lookalike. We have a picture in our home, and it's a picture of me and my oldest son, Anthony, side by side. It's in one frame. It's a picture of me in black and white when I was 18 years old. Right next to it, a picture of Anthony in color when he was 18 years old. We look like brothers, because mine was 18, his was 18. It's just mine is black and white, and his is color. But we look like brothers in the picture. But the reason we look like brothers, even though we're a generation apart, is because I have shared with him my DNA. Because my DNA is in him, he's not me, but he looks like me because he got from me the DNA of me, even though we're generations apart. Even though Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and we're generations apart from when he was alive, when you accepted Christ, he deposited in you the DNA of Jesus Christ. So he expects his DNA to show up in your soul so that you and I, so that I look like he looked when he was here, not physically, because we don't know what he looked like physically. There are no paintings or drawings of Jesus. He's talking about looking like Jesus in attitudes and actions, in character and in content. He wants us to respond like Jesus would respond if Jesus was in the same situation we were in, act like Jesus would act if Jesus was doing the same things we were doing, relate like Jesus would relate if Jesus was relating in the same circumstance we are relating. He wants the DNA of Jesus to show up in us so we are transformed into his very likeness, resemblance, or image. Okay? So that is the goal of transformation. It is from the inside out. He says, if you want to be changed, here's what you need. He says, you need a mirror. Verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. He says, if you want to be transformed, you need a mirror. Now, what is a mirror for? It's for a reflection of you. That's what a mirror does. It shows you you. See, you have never seen your face. You have never seen your face. You can't see your face. Okay? Now, you may think you look like Denzel or Halle Berry, but a mirror will bring you back to reality. The goal of a mirror is to let you see how things really are. Okay? It's to reflect back to you, you. You may think your hair is straight until you look in the mirror. You may get up in the morning and think there's no boo-boo in your eye till you look in the mirror. But what the mirror will do is the mirror will show you you as you really are.
That may not sound like very good news, but when Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll tell us more about why a good, honest look at ourselves is exactly what we need. First, though, I want to let you know that today's lesson is part of Tony's brand new 2-volume series, Followers, Not Fans. This 12-message collection explores what it takes to become a dedicated disciple of Jesus Christ, the stages of the process, how to know you're making progress, and how to overcome the obstacles and opposition you'll run into along the way. It includes quite a bit of bonus material we won't have time to present on the air, so be sure to contact us for details about getting a copy on CD or DVD. But here's the good news. For a limited time, you can get Volume 1 of this brand new series on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. So visit us today at TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Make your contribution and let us send you Followers, Not Fans, Volume 1 on CD as our thank you gift. But don't wait. This special offer is only available for a limited time. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
If you're going to be transformed, you need a mirror. But the mirror, when you go to it, you must go to it without a veil, he says. He says you must go unveiled. Now, I've performed hundreds of weddings. And in many of those weddings, the bride comes down the center aisle with a veil. When the bride comes with a veil, her face is covered, which means you cannot fully see what she really looks like because it's camouflage with a veil. But when I say, I now pronounce you husband and wife, and now the husband can salute the bride, he lifts the veil so we can see her as she really is. He says it's possible to read the Bible with a veiled face. And if you read the Bible with a veiled face, it says you remain unchanged. The reason why a lot of Christians come to church every week and nothing is different, Their addictions don't get any better. Their anger control doesn't get any better. Their violent tempers don't get any better. Their alcoholism doesn't get any better. Their pornography dependency doesn't get any better. Their whatever it happens to be doesn't get any better, even though they're listening to the word, reading the word, hearing the word, is they are approaching it with a veil over their face. And he says, if you read the word with a veil, you remain unchanged. He says, but we all, watch this, with unveiled face. Okay? That means that you must approach the word of God honestly. No cover-ups. You don't approach God's word as though you're all that. You approach it and say, God, I give you permission to show me as you see me. Not as my homies see me, not as my husband or wife sees me, not as my work friends see me. What do you see when you look at me? Mirror, let me let you talk to me. You see, the problem with church is most folk come to church with veiled faces. We dress up, we clean up, we look the part. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, got a Bible. And we approach church with a veiled face. So when the word of God goes out, you don't really see what it's trying to say because we got the cover up going on. We got the Christianese going on that says, I'm not as bad as he is. I'm not as bad as she is. You must unveil your face. It's interesting sometimes when I'm preaching to look out and I make a point and somebody punching their neighbor. He talking to you. No, you must come with an unveiled face. When you open the Bible in the morning for your devotions, you must come with an unveiled face. You must give God permission to tell you the truth about you. Because God will not talk to you about you as long as you got a cover up. As long as you say to God, God, forgive me for my sins today. See, that's general and you can stay veiled behind that. But if you say, God, right now, I want to go to that computer and turn on that pornography. That's how I feel right now, and I want to tell you the truth. Right now, God, I want to vent my anger, and I want to cuss like a sailor. I'm going to take the veil off. You know, I'm going to put the veil on when I'm in church because I don't want everybody else to know how ugly I am. But right now, before your word, I am going to come clean. Unless you come with an unveiled face, it says you remain unchanged. Because see, God knows what the real deal is. He knows what you're really thinking, how you're really feeling, what you want to do, how bad you want to do it. And he says, if you bring that hiding stuff to me, being in front of the Bible will not change you. You must come to the mirror. The mirror of his word. That's what his word is. The mirror of his word. And you must come giving him full permission to expose, full permission to reveal. Okay, now, what happens? Notice verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Notice the end of verse 18. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Notice in these two verses, you'll see the word Spirit three times. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Here's how your transformation works. When you look into the Word of God as a mirror, not just glance at it, but you roll that thing over till God is talking to you, the Holy Spirit who is inside of every true believer will kick in and take the Word and breathe life into it for your personal transformation. He will animate the Word in your soul. Never be satisfied with just reading the Bible because that won't change you. It will only inform you. And maybe you'll come up with a grit your teeth and conform to some things for a while. But God is not interested in conforming. He's interested in transforming. When the Holy Spirit grabs the word and makes it light up inside of you so that you're now experiencing it. Okay, you're hungry. You want to go to a restaurant because you want something to eat. You go into a nice restaurant, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to hand you a menu and give you a seat. You will read the menu and you may even salivate by what's on the menu. You may say, that looks good, that looks good. You know, sometimes you salivate just reading the menu. Not only, though, do you get the word that they offer in writing, there is going to be somebody who is going to come and proclaim the word to you, a waiter or a waitress. They're going to proclaim the written word. The written word is on the menu. You know what they offer because you read it, but they're going to explain it to you. And they're going to tell you what's in that and what's in this and the specials. Then they're going to have a Q&A session at the end. Do you have any questions? Okay? So you will have the word written about what the restaurant offers. Then you'll have somebody who'll come and exposition the word, exposit the word to you so that you know what it means. But after you've read the word and after they proclaim the word, you don't then get your coat and leave because you didn't come for information. And you didn't come for declaration. You came for an experience with the word. You want some food in your mouth, not just a menu on some paper. You come into church and you take your seat because you want to be spiritually fed today. And we give you a scripture and you open up your Bible and you read the word. Then I come up, your waiter, and I explain the word as best I can to you. But if you leave this place only having read the menu and heard from the waiter and not tasted the meal, you're still going to be hungry because your goal is to have an experience with the food, not just learn about the food. He says that all of us being transformed as we stare in the mirror with an unveiled face, beholding our new nature based on the word of God, the Spirit of God will transform you so that you'll become a college graduate in him, so that you'll get your master's in him, so that you'll get your PhD in him, because we are all being transformed.
That process of transformation begins with asking Jesus Christ to become your Savior and your Lord. And Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to explain how that can happen for you today. First, though, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message to review on your own or share with someone else, the title to ask about is The Command of Discipleship. You can request it as a standalone message or as a part of Dr. Evans' brand new 2-volume set, Followers, Not Fans. And remember, you can get Volume 1 of this series on CD as our thank you gift for a contribution of any amount. But don't wait, this special offer won't be available for long. Make a point of visiting us today at tonyevans.org to make the arrangements. And while you're there, you can also download our free smartphone app, sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional, and find other great resources. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. 1-800-800-3222. The world, the flesh, and the devil are three enemies that can distract us from our discipleship. So tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about the steps we can take to derail their agenda by refusing to fall for their tricks and traps. Right now, though, he's back with this final thought about what it means to be a real Christian.
You're not a Christian because you're religious or because you go to church or even because you believe in God. You're a Christian because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal sin bearer. Being religious, doing good works, that's nice, but it's not sufficient when God demands perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So what God has said is, he placed your sin on the cross, on the Christ, and then judge Christ for your sin. If you will go to Christ, he will take Christ's righteousness, which is perfect, and he will credit it to your account. So you will stand before God as though you've never sinned, not because you're sinless, but because you've got a sinless credit on your account. If you will receive Jesus Christ right now, if you will invite him into your life, believing that he died for you and rose for you personally, he will credit your account with perfection because he's already credited your sin on to Jesus Christ. So go to Christ right now and get this free gift of salvation that he's offering to all who come to him for it.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.